Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone call.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. As I said, the world has Dr. Phil. We've got Dr. Jill right here. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Steve.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And the world has, John Boy. And we have Dr. John Townsend.
That's the nicest thing anybody's
John
ever said.
Mayor.
Yeah. Have everybody.
John Townsend.
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
Right?
Well, we're glad you're with us here today. We were in Seattle this past weekend, and we had our New Life weekend, and it was really amazing. We were right across the street from Microsoft there, and the little helipad, and the little helicopters coming down and all. It was pretty exciting. Mm. It was fun. We were glad to be there. We've got a couple of things people wrote after it was over with. Listen to this. Paul said, "I doubted if an old man like me, 72, could benefit from a weekend like this." But he says, "The weekend has been the most wonderful thing that could have happened to our marriage." And this is a 72-year-old guy. And he says, "I leave here with the willingness to join my wife and work together in restoring conflict or resolving conflict instead of shutting down or running away. To anyone that's considering it, if in doubt or not, come to the weekend. It's the best thing I ever did." Now, here's another skeptical person. We were in Seattle. People are skeptical there.
He says, Seattle
more
is more
so
skeptical
than other parts of the
they're
country.
They're brilliant people up there. Mm-hmm. Oh. They're brilliant. They're aware. They're on the, you know, the whole...
didn't realize it was a skeptical
in the lineage of
part of the country.
The most
Bill
skeptical
Gates.
Part of the, okay, the country. Bill Gates, the whole mm-hmm. thing. I wasn't sure I would get anything out of the conference. My marriage was more of a routine that was getting stale than a healthy, vibrant one that I dreamed of. Now, both of these are from men. It's pretty cool. He says, "But this weekend is an encouragement that's given me the tools to change. The small group therapy was healing and powerful. I leave here with hope and a desire for a whole new life." Now, one more. "I was afraid of expecting too much, but the weekend was instructive, encouraging, fun, healing. It was an opportunity and privilege to see the hand and heart of God at work in the lives of the members of the group. And I leave here with freedom from false guilt and shame, freedom from bondage to the past, willingness and hope, and new relationship skills." How about that? I mean, that's not bad.
You know what they're saying, I think, is they're saying that when you get away to a weekend like that, and this is true with any kind of transformational experience, you've got to have the information. So there's the talks and the principles mm-hmm. and all that in your head.
Yeah.
But there's also got to be experiences, relational right. experiences that drive it down inside the heart. And that's
right.
what the weekend's
they
about.
They have to feel it.
You have to feel as well
they
as know
do.
It.
Well, we're really glad we got to be there. It reminded me on the day I asked my wife to marry me, we were over there at a hotel, and I look over, and there's Bill Gates and his wife. Well, you know, you don't want to bother people and say, "Oh, I want your autograph" or something like that. So I said, "Hey, stand over there." And so we were right by them, and I took her picture there in the water in the background. And then I just handed the camera over and said, "Hey, would you guys take our picture?" And so we don't have a picture of us with the Gates, but we have a picture of us taken by
the
Gates.
Gates.
Yeah, so we wrote that on the bottom of it there. Very few people can say that. Anyway, we're glad you're with us here today. We are a group of folks that we're here really to make you feel bad today. We like people to feel so bad that they get in the car and go talk to somebody, do something different with their life, rather than just feel like, "Oh, it's hopeless, I'm helpless."
But there's a happy ending.
There is a happy ending when you feel bad enough to get out of that house, sit down with somebody face to face, and have a need met.
Finding Freedom is the 20th of September. It's here. So sign up and get free, whatever it is. that's causing a problem for you. Our 12 Steps to Happier is October the 5th in Irvine, Intimacy and Marriage, October 25th.
We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today here on New Life.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. John Townsend. Let's talk to Mary from Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. Hello, Mary. Welcome to New Life. How are you?
Hi. Thank you. I'm hanging in there.
You're hanging in there. Well, what's the problem?
For the past couple of years, I was in a relationship with a man with Asperger's syndrome.
Well, what was that like?
Well, I only learned about it about 7 months ago, mm-hmm. and it was very confusing. And
did he have a hard time just
connecting,
relating, connecting, picking up on normal cues and things like that?
Yeah, especially connecting on a deeper level. I mean, he was able eventually to express his love for me.
Hmm.
But I had a hard time connecting with him on deeper spiritual, emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not really a choice on their part. I mean, sometimes the wiring's really not there, so it's hard for, you know, it's hard for someone who loves them, and it's hard for the person themselves.
Yeah. But was he a really smart guy?
Yeah, what attracted you, Mary?
He's very kind and patient and accepting of me.
Okay. Well, what's the question for us then?
Well, the advice I was given was that having that deeper connection is really essential for a marriage, and so that I should be cautious about wanting to marry him, and after 2 years of not being able to say, yes, I want to marry you, I thought the best thing was to end the relationship, but now I'm not sure that that was the best thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably would have taken a different approach than to say the deep connection that most people feel has to be there versus you could, because of his Asperger's, accept that when that is going to be there, mm-hmm. it may be a 5-year process versus a 1-year process or an instant process. I think, well, just having some good friends of mine where he has Asperger's, and I think they've got a really remarkable relationship. I've seen it work. But there is this acceptance that, well, this isn't going to be the typical kind of relationship that other people experience. John, Jill, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I was going to ask, why are you now questioning that, Mary? You said, like, now I'm kind of ambivalent?
Well, I never had a clear answer either way, yes, marry him or end the relationship. I ended the relationship.
Whoa. You never had an answer.
My heart, I never felt confident about.
Oh, okay.
One way or the other way.
Okay, so it wasn't like somebody was telling you. You're saying you weren't sure one way or the other. What is it that's making you not sure now?
Well, I was never sure about ending it. The reason I ended it was because I felt as if after this time, if I couldn't say yes, I'll marry you, then I should end the relationship.
Right, and so now what's flipped it to a tipping point the other way?
Well, it just hurts, and I know that I've hurt him, and I'm just not sure that it was the right thing.
You miss him?
Yes.
Well, then, is there any harm in rethinking this? People often do that.
No, there's no harm in rethinking it. I don't want to hurt him, though. I don't want to. Mm-hmm.
Well, look.
Okay, as opposed, Mary, to somebody else who you are debating about whether you can live with their faults or not?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I mean, you don't want to hurt him versus if you were dating somebody else who didn't have Asperger's, you would still be evaluating whether you could live with their faults.
Yeah.
Because everybody has them. It's just which can you work mm-hmm. with?
And right. I want to make one other comment. He may feel very deeply attached to you.
Happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. But because he doesn't communicate it or show it.
It doesn't get manifested.
Right, the normal signs.
You don't feel that coming from him. But down inside, it can be as real and strong as or more than anyone else.
Mary, let me give you kind of a path. If you really miss him and you value things that you know he does bring to the table because they're just like anybody else. They're kind. They love. They have passions. They have interests and values, and they make a difference. If you miss those parts, like Jill said, you know this. You can live with a disconnection piece, and you don't want to hurt him. Go back and say, you know, I might have been wrong about this. And are you willing to take a risk as we explore this together? And he may say, no, it hurts too much, Mary. And then you move on. But if he says, yeah, I know that there's no guarantee here, and you explore what's it like to live with a person with Asperger's, and you both talk about it together, you research it, you mm-hmm. get around Asperger's groups, then he knows he's front-loaded with the information, and then you can kind of redo it.
And you know, so often we will make major life decisions on a little snippet mm-hmm. of a piece of advice or something, and just that little snippet of, well, marriages don't work very well if there's not a deep connection. Well, yeah, you know, that's true. But in your case, I wouldn't be making major decisions based on whether or not I feel like he is deeply connected to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Now, you also mentioned support groups and, mm-hmm. and getting help. And I've heard your program a number of times, and you mentioned counseling. And I've just hit my head against the wall so many times trying to find support for us, either where he lives or where I live.
In D.C., Washington, D.C.?
Right, Washington, D.C., or New York. He's in New York,
well,
New York City.
Just stay on the line. We know a million people, and it's a well-established syndrome. There's a lot of research about it.
Right.
So
right.
Stay on the
line. And another thing, with people with Asperger's, they are usually so bright, they can learn. And
absolutely.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, when they're young, they get sent to social skills groups. Mm-hmm. So you can teach him, mm-hmm. you know, along the way, how you want to be responded to.
Yeah.
Steve, I like what you said about the one piece, making a decision in one piece. I think about people mm-hmm. who have married somebody because of good hair and good teeth. That was the one piece, and
yeah.
wasn't a great idea.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
Especially when it went away, right?
Well, whether or not.
I know.
There's other things.
Yeah, both teeth and hair can go away in certain parts of the country. Both. All right, Dwayne from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listens on XM Satellite Radio. Dwayne, how are you, man?
Oh, hanging in there like everybody else.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound too good. Tell us what's happening in your life.
Well, I got divorced 3 years ago, and in the last 3 years, it's been pretty tough. It feels like as good as my ex-wife's life's going, mine's going the opposite direction. My business shut down. She stuck me with all the bills for the house. Of course, the house had to get sold. And, like, all my friends, you know, just quit talking to me.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, whose fault it was for the marriage, you know, I played my part, too, but she had infidelity on me and stuff. So, but I just a little bit, like, when this all started, you know, I went to God and confessed, you know, my sins for my part of the marriage. And, hey, Lord, what's your will? Should she come back? Should she not? You know, what do you want me to do for my life? It just feels like I said, the more hers goes up, the more mine goes down. I guess, you know, she's getting remarried and maybe pregnant or whatever. And,
okay.
And like I said, I just, you know, everything seems to, anything that starts a little high for me, it doesn't take long for something that'll knock the wind out of my sails, and I just got no enthusiasm to do anything.
Okay, so what's the question for us? How could we help you?
You know, what should I do to try to get back on my feet or find the Lord again, or why isn't the Lord there for me? I don't know. It's just
all right. Now, do you listen to the show very much?
Oh, all the time.
All right. So you know that I went through the same thing that you went through, right?
Not 100% the whole story,
but I had an unfaithful spouse, and went through that time when, wow, everything's going great for the person that committed this fatal thing. I couldn't even, I was so into myself, I couldn't even look at my part for 5 years, you know. I mean, I didn't cause her to have an affair or anything, but I certainly contributed. And so it took a long time. You're 3 years out, and I got to say that I wasn't really, I would say, well. I wasn't a well person. John and Jill could tell you, I was not a well person for a very long time. And so you've got to be patient with yourself. But here's the thing. You're probably right on track with what goes on in these kind of things. But somebody told me something the day after this happened. And it was great advice that I stuck with, and it's really helped me, and I'm going to give it to you. Don't be jealous of your ex-spouse. Refuse to look at that life and say everything's wonderful and happy, because you don't know what's going on. You actually didn't know what was going on in her heart when you were married to her, and you sure don't know what's going on in there afterwards. So to be jealous of something that you're not really aware of, you don't really know the inside track on, would be foolish. Now, the big question is, who do you have around you? What men do you have around you to help you get through this time? Because, you know, I guarantee you, God is there for you, and you're not going to feel it. But over the hill or around the bend, that's when it's going to be a lot different for you. It may take 2 more years, may take 4 more years, but it'll come.
Yeah, Dwayne, when I was listening to your story, I wasn't thinking the reason that Dwayne is suffering is because his wife's doing well and his not. What I was thinking was, Dwayne's alone.
Yeah, that's it. That's the big, that's what I should have said. That's it right there.
Then let's solve alone first. Because when a person has financial, relational, career, and marital losses, you know, there's nothing you can do to get back on your feet. The idea of a self-made man is an oxymoron. And good psychology and the Bible both teach the same thing, is you've got to be around community. So we need to talk about where the people are that are safe, that are for you, that will listen to you. And there's two things you got to look for in people. The first thing is they've got to be totally unaccepting with no shame and no – you need no condemnation right now. So you need people who are for you no matter what. They'll give you grace with no condemnation. But you also need people with ideas and wisdom. There's a lot of people out there who have been where you've been. Steve is a great example, and they're okay now. But Steve got connected. He got with people that he could cry with, he could talk about his feelings with, he could talk about his losses with. They comforted him. A lot of us, of those people are around here. But they also had ideas. So that's number two for you, is getting those two things.
You need to get into that divorce recovery group at the local church there.
I think, I mean, I went to church after this happened. I went to church my whole life and stopped some my earlier 20s and stuff. And I went to church for 2 years, and like I said, I went to church, said, Lord, I'm sorry for my part in my marriage.
Okay, but listen.
And then my business went.
Did you sit on the back row and, like, leave after the thing was over and get in your car?
Dwayne, it's really hard to see the wicked prospering. Mm. And when you're going through a divorce, it feels like, you know, the person who cheated or whatever is, you know, they're the wicked. And so, you know, you're seeing your wife, but you're watching her and you're comparing. You know, if her life tanked, you might feel better in the short run. But long term, that really isn't going to change things for you. You've experienced a major loss, and so it sounds like you're a bit depressed. And
well, I guess I'm focusing too much on her right now because I try not to. Mm-hmm. She only lives like 15 miles from me.
But also,
and I hear things when I don't want to.
You should stop that. And also, you should stop thinking that if you feel bad enough and you ask God enough, He's going to save your business and solve your pain.
That's already gone. My house is gone. I just don't know. Like I said, I went to church for 2 years.
Dwayne.
Nobody reached out
to me. Dwayne.
Yes.
Nobody's going to reach out to you. You've got to go to a divorce recovery group, a Celebrate Recovery, a Life Recovery group. You've got to get in there. And that's
where the agenda
is reaching out.
Where the intent, Dwayne, and the agenda and the structure is to help you. But don't just go to church and hope they notice that you're suffering, because people, you know, have their own lives. Go to these groups, and seriously, the three of us have seen miracles happen when somebody walked in the door.
Yeah, I had a miracle because, I've told this before, but when it first happened, I wanted to kill her. Have you ever had that feeling, Dwayne?
I wanted
to kill her. And then as
I healed,
I didn't need to kill her. I just wanted her to die on her own somehow. And then as the healing occurred, I didn't need her to die. I just wanted her to have an illness that would disfigure her. And you know, it just went from there.
But you got past all that.
And then, you know, I would have been happy with, she just had a boil once a year or so. And then, you know, I found myself eventually actually praying for her, her good, because she is the mother of our child. So you do heal, but you're going to have to get in a healing process, or guess where you're going to be stuck? You're going to be stuck in, I want to kill her, I wish she was dead, and I hate what she's doing, and you don't want to be stuck there. And she can't help you. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on here. You guess what?
I said, I guess I'm stuck with the fact that I still miss her.
What, did you hear what John said?
No.
You're alone. And that's why you miss her, because you don't have anything else. You don't have some buds that can really help you, people that understand you. And you can feel sorry for yourself. In fact, you can even learn how to be helpless in this whole situation. Or you can do what we were talking about earlier. Get in the car, sit down, go to a meeting, humble yourself, and sit down with some other people that are struggling. And your life will change.
And
it will change everything.
And inner grief, Dwayne.
Yeah, that's
grief
right.
Grief is a good thing for you right now.
Not just the anger, see, just the sadness. Get into there. We'll be back after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against. And families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. John is the author of Boundaries and many, many other books. One, maybe the newest, is What Do I Do Now? Is that it? Is that
yeah.
the title?
Now What Do I Do?
Now What Do I Do?
A
now
System
what
for
I
Solving
do?
Problems.
And Dr. Jill Hubbard, the author of The Secrets Women Keep. And so both of those are available at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE, where you can find my newest book, Regret-Free Living, and also The God of Second Chances, which is what we're all about right here. Okay, let's go over here and talk to Marcy from Peoria, Illinois. I was just there last weekend, Marcy, in Peoria, speaking for the Peoria Christian School, raising money there. It was great to be in Peoria. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's nice to talk to you guys again. I've called several times in the past.
And, we didn't fix everything?
No, you always give good advice.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm in a place now where I just ended a relationship. I was engaged. The engagement was broken. The relationship's over. And I'm at peace with the fact that he's not my husband. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with that. My issue is I can see him moving on. In fact, I know he'll have no trouble meeting women, lots of women, dating, whatever.
Yeah.
But I have a blank. Like, I see nothing in my future.
Yeah.
I don't have the same hope or faith for myself.
Well, what happened to the relationship that it died?
He was bipolar. And
did he take his medication?
Sometimes.
Oh.
And after lots of efforts and attempts and struggles to get him to be compliant or to give him the opportunity to be compliant or do whatever he needed to do, I just I realized, you know, he's not going to do it.
Okay. So what's the question for us then?
I don't understand. I don't have the same faith and hope for him. The faith and hope I have for him, I don't have it for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it went or what happened.
Marcy, have you had lots of loss and disappointment in your life prior to this?
Yes. Lots, yeah.
Okay. Relational losses?
My brother was killed in a car accident.
Mm. I'm sorry.
Drunk driving accident. And we were really, really close.
The reason I asked was, kind of as we're diagnosing what's going on, is a lot of people have losses that they haven't recovered from or healed from, and there's sort of this kind of like tipping point where you finally go, I'll never have steady, stable, deep, rich relationships, and hope, like the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We give out of hope.
Yeah.
I was wondering if your gas tank of hope's gone because of all these losses.
I think it is. I mean, I've grieved the loss of my brother, definitely, and been through lots of therapy for that. And I think that when you love someone that's bipolar and you go through so many ups and downs and you hope and you trust and you hang on for so long, and you just have to let it go for your own sanity. But I don't know how to see more for me. I don't know how to hope for more.
Well, you know, just like the last caller, I got to ask you, are you surrounded with some healthy women, hopeful women that can give you some encouragement, or are you alone?
No, I have great friends. And
okay.
Let me flip it around the other way. What is it that you are thinking about you that's disqualifying you from being a candidate for a million guys? You said he's going to have no problem, but you're not applying the same, you know, equation yourself. Why would there not be a bunch of guys that want you and your character traits and your, you know, wonderfulness?
Right.
Well, I'm 38. I've never been married. I don't have any kids. And I just am starting to feel like like an alien. Hmm. And I just read this article in the paper about this 85-year-old woman who's getting married for the first time, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be 85. Hmm. I'm just feeling very, I mean, I've dated a lot, you know, and I'm just feeling really hopeless. Like, this is it. I'm going to.
Well, how long were you in a relationship with him?
2 years.
2 years. And you dated for 2 years. How long were you engaged?
We were engaged for about 6 months, and I knew him for 12 years before that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, and the relationship just ended?
Last week is when I finally said, okay, that's enough.
Okay. So, Marcy, I'm wondering if you are in this post-relationship, I mean, it's very recently ended, you know, where you're kind of dealing with that fact, that loss, and grieving that. And sometimes when we're in the middle of our grief, it's hard to see very far. It's like being in a, you know, a dense fog. And a little bit by little bit, things clear, and you can see farther down the road. But right now, I think, you know, the loss is hitting you, and it's kind of dominoed by all those other losses that you were speaking of.
Right.
It's been a lot of back and forth with him, and I feel like I've worn my
aren't you tired?
Out. I'm tired, and I feel like the people that love me are tired. And I feel like I should just be able to get up and go on because I've been sort of dragged behind this for so long.
Marcy, let me give you kind of a menu.
Okay.
Like Jill said, you're going to have to go through a period of recovery. This was a deep loss. It's, you know, you let this guy in really deep, and you were engaged, and so there's going to be a time of recovery. But after that, I want you to get Henry's book.
It's How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
We'll send it to you.
Because a lot of people have this sort of like one shot at a time dating thing, especially in their late 30s. This might be the person they put all their eggs in the basket. I want you to take his book, and I want you to be a shotgun. And I want you to use the principles, which have to do with healthy flirting and see a lot of guys.
Not memorizing the top of your shoes.
You got it.
Looking up,
meeting
people.
And date like 10 or 12 guys at one time and be active in that
right.
and pursue that. And then start weaning it down. The worst thing you can do after you recover is go back into one guy again.
Yeah.
Let's don't do that.
Right.
We'll get you the book.
I'll send you my book, Avoiding Mr. Wrong, also. I think that'll be a big help. But, you know, we're almost 100% on people that we talk to, and we get them involved in this process of getting a date and meeting and greeting men.
Dates,
and,
plural.
And I've got great hope for you. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more New Life Live.
Everybody wants to be happy, but the problem is so many of us are stuck in the struggles of life and weighed down by our past hurts and mistakes. If you want to learn how to become a happier you, join us for this year's Life Recovery Conference.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here, and a lot of times I hear people say, you know, recovery just isn't for me, I'm not an addict. Well, actually, recovery is for everyone. If you're struggling in any area, you don't have to be an addict to do better when you surrender and take the steps to a happier life.
12 Steps to Happier with speakers Steve Arterburn, Dr. Dave Stoop, Chris Williams, Becky Brown, Jack West, and Amanda Anderson on Saturday, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine.
Come join me and our team of speakers for a day filled with wisdom and practical help.
12 Steps to Happier, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine. To register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or visit liferecoverygroups.com. That's 1-800-639-5433 or liferecoverygroups.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We are back. Don't forget, we've got a New Life weekend coming up on the 20th for Finding Freedom. There is no reason for you to be struggling with some of the things you struggle with when we can help you get free of that. And we love these workshops because people, they come in with all sorts of problems. Maybe they just cannot stop the out-of-control eating, or it's that depression or the anxiety, the social anxiety, the fears that they're dealing with. We help you with it. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we can tell you all about that. And then October the 5th, coming to Southern California, Mariners Church, 12 Steps to Happier. It's our annual Life Recovery Conference. And you can find out all about that just by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and then Intimacy in Marriage is October the 25th.
All right, let's go to Vanessa from Denver, Colorado. KRKS is the station. Hi, Vanessa. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I love your show.
Thank you, Vanessa. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to start off with a question because you guys always love the question.
We do love a question.
Vanessa, what's your question?
Hurry, get to the question.
Yeah,
the question is, I'm trying to figure out with my brother, I'm 29, he's 26, we're trying to figure out the best and most effective way to do an intervention or have a conversation with my 53-year-old father about his sex addiction and basically the ending of my parents' marriage of 31 years.
How do you know he's a sex addict?
Well, the way it all went down is... The first sign was 5 years ago he left Christ and denounced Christ and went into this New Age religion, and I'm now seeing that he did that to justify his actions with his sex addiction.
Is he in affairs or pornography or
everything?
Prostitutes?
Everything. Six months ago, my brother and I, we actually work for him, and we found in his computer receipts for HIV tests. He actually started a porn business. Like,
oh my goodness.
So deep.
Wow. Not many men start their own porn business. That's pretty amazing.
He's an entrepreneur, but we were the ones, sadly, who had to tell my mom and had to make the decision to tell my mom.
Yeah, okay.
So
good for you.
They're divorced, and he's leaving in 3 days. Hey, Vanessa,
knowing that he's your dad and you grew up with him, are these any surprises?
He's a narcissist, so in a way, no, but we never knew. We never, even my mom didn't really have any idea that this is what he was capable of.
That it was that deep and dark. You're kind of savvy. How do you know this stuff? Have you got a clinical training degree or you got some counseling degrees?
Well, I work with foster kids, so I deal with their sex addiction.
You're aware.
As an under teen.
Well, what are you trying to accomplish here?
Well, because he's leaving, we never told him that we were the ones that told my mom and knew the information because my mom was worried that he would go after the little assets that they did have, and she wanted it to be an easy divorce.
Right.
So we haven't got to actually sit down with him and have a conversation about what happened and what we know, and he's leaving in 3 days, and I just feel like we need to set him up with something in Florida. Yeah. I just feel like time's up. Like, 3 days, we have to say something, and because he doesn't know. We think the marriage fell apart.
Okay, now, are you prepared if this narcissist, once he doesn't think, or once he knows that you don't think he's wonderful, are you prepared that he doesn't really want to be around you anymore? I mean, that is an outcome that could happen. He could just say, I'm done with my kids.
Yeah, I don't fear that, because over the years, like when we confronted him about the religion, I'm about as hard-headed as he is. Mm-hmm. I'm not a narcissist, though, that I know of, that no one's told me anyway. But him and I bump heads, and we might fight for a little bit or something, but then he kind of is just like, hey, how's it going?
All right.
He doesn't ever, like, excommunicate us.
So, Vanessa, are you telling him for you and your brother, or are you hoping that he's going to have some realization?
It's a little bit of both. Mostly, I want him... I feel like if he's living in the darkness and in the secrecy, he can continue to operate in it and not realize that everyone knows. Like, he just... My mom's real soft, so he kind of just says, oh, you're just exaggerating. You're just making it up. But with us, I want him to know that everybody knows. His family knows now. We know. We're the ones who found this evidence. He can't argue the evidence right now.
So,
and he needs help. Needs help.
So John wrote this book about how to have that difficult conversation, and it seems like you're realistic about the outcome, that he's not going to just fall down and cry and say, oh, I'll never do it again, I want to come back and all that. So John, what do you think is their best approach? They just want to communicate that they know the inside out of his addiction.
Yeah, I would add a piece to that, Vanessa. You have 3 days before he's gone to Florida, right?
Yep.
And you and your brother call him to call for somebody's home or whatever. And I would add, the piece I would add to the outcome besides, look, you're not fooling anybody, is we want to give you a path. Everybody, when they have somebody come to them with really hard stuff, like we know how sick this is and how twisted this is and how much danger you're in physically and emotionally, everybody also needs a way out. And I would craft with your brother something like, look, we know a good therapist, we know a good counselor, we can find people in Florida. All we want you to do is to see that we love you and that this is bad for you and we're for you. Because, as Steve said, the problem with a narcissist is when you pop the I'm special balloon, they go into either deep contempt for themselves or from others. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes one way, and then you've lost everything. So this is probably a window, but you like you said, he trusts you anyway. But the idea is going to be, even though you feel ashamed right now or offended or how dare you, here's a phone number. Here's a person. So if in the next few weeks as you're deliberating over this, you'll have a path.
Tell him about the Everyman's Battle Workshop thing. Right. Dad, if you ever want to look into this and see that there's a different way, here's a weekend you can go to. And other guys have the same problem.
Deep inside every narcissist, there's an isolated person that really wants to be loved as they are.
Yeah.
And this is
and
your
that's
shot
why
to
reaffirming
to
their
reaffirming
love
helps.
For him is important
right.
in that
So they can deal with the shame they're going to mm-hmm. have and all yeah. that.
Hey, just curious, do you know what his relationship was like with his father?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't know who he is.
Doesn't know who his father is. See,
yeah,
typical.
He's been angry his yeah. whole life mm-hmm. about it. And
yeah.
he is isolated for sure. And this is what we've been doing for the last 6 months is offering him love and grace because mm-hmm. he probably even wonders what's wrong with me because my normal path is to be like in his face, are you kidding me? You know, but this time I knew I had to be quiet for my mom's benefit. I
yeah,
needed to let him
sense.
Know I still love him. So I've kind of been just like supportive, like, you know.
So now it's time mm-hmm. to use the love and grace as the anesthetic yeah. and the reality and truth as the surgery.
And the irony is probably your brother is probably the closest male that's yeah. ever been close to him.
Yeah,
ever.
That is true. He yeah. has no friends. He's so isolated.
Oh, yeah. All right. I hope something we've said is helpful. I will send you this book, How to Have That Difficult Conversation. I'll send you Every Man's Battle. Maybe that would be something that he would read. 4 million other guys have read it, so we'll send that to you. You know, no father would look down the road and say, okay, I'm hoping one day my children are bright enough to intervene in my mm-hmm. sexual addiction. I mean, this is just horrible that the adult children have to step in here and try to do something like this. But, man, is he ever deep into the addiction.
Right. And if anybody was going to get to him, it sounds like maybe they would be the ones.
And how lucky he has to have a kid like that, like
yeah.
Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
Way
wow,
to go, Vanessa.
Brave.
She's
yeah.
a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Way to be hard-headed.
Yep.
Which she said she was. Pamela from Los Angeles, California. KKLA is the station that you listen to, and how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
Well, I'll start with a question.
Okay.
I'm feeling like I need to tell my husband I'm no longer physically attracted. I haven't. He suspects that, but I've never really been honest about it.
And you're not physically attracted to him. How long have you not been physically attracted to him?
Well, we've been married 18 years, and it's probably been... had trouble for the last at least 10 years.
10 years out of 18. Okay, now all of a sudden, what's making you think, okay, I need to tell him this if it's been going on for 10 years? Has something happened or you feeling differently? What's going on?
Well, just to provide a brief background, my personality is, I would say, an avoider, and I think he thinks he is too, but I think he might be more like a vacillator.
Mm-hmm.
Our marital problems, from my perspective, revolved around primarily three things. One is he had some job problems for a long time, so his financial contribution to the household was an issue for me, making me feel like I was carrying
okay.
the weight. He had anger and sarcasm, and we had poor conflict resolution skills.
Okay.
We've been seeing a counselor for over 2.5 years, a very good counselor, and I think we've worked through most of those issues. And so his issue all along has been more sex. And we've committed to a date night twice a week for the last 3 years. My residual issue is emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't feel connected to him at all?
Well, I wouldn't say not at all. It's not completely absent, but it's certainly not sufficient.
But you don't trust him with your emotional self?
No, it's not that I don't trust him. I think that, as I said, I'm not necessarily even, I'm an avoider. I want it, but I'm not necessarily that good at it myself.
Pamela, connect the dots for us. Are you saying that the emotional conflict is keeping you from being sexually attracted to him, or are you making another connection?
I used to think that that was, but now I'm not even so sure. I'm wondering okay. even if we were emotionally connected, maybe I've just lost the physical.
All right. Well, we'll give you some, how old are you, by the way?
47.
47. All right. We'll give you some help right after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and then you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. We're talking with Pamela, and Pamela has something that is probably one of the most common things that we deal with around here when people lose physical attraction. I think sooner or later it's going to happen. Some right after you eat the wedding cake, it's an instant drop in desire because, you know, the best foot's forward and then that other foot can be awfully ugly. Or you can just kind of drift into it. John, Jill, what do you think is the hope for her?
Pamela, were you attracted to your husband when you walked down the aisle?
Yes, but I would say it was never
okay.
Fireworks.
Okay.
I had low self-esteem. My background prior to meeting him was low self-esteem with men, relied on my looks, really, and he was someone that treated me well, was smart.
Okay, so it was more about him liking you versus how you felt. So you didn't really know yourself as well.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
Well, one of the things I think with attraction, though, is that it comes and goes. And as much as you are saying, I don't know if I can ever get it back, 10 years is a long time to feel disconnected and kind of beaten down in a relationship. And so it can feel like that chasm is too wide to cross. But I hear a lot of things in what you listed where you've lost respect for your husband. And even though you said you do trust him, because you tend to be avoidant, I think it really needs to be very safe and someone who will invite you and really want to know you. And when your husband doesn't go after you in that way, you know, I think it's easy to build a case of, well, he just doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
Does that ring true at all
for
you?
Yes, it does, especially the respect part.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, respect is really key. And that emotional piece for us women, I mean, we are attracted in our minds. I mean, not that we don't like things visually.
Are you trying to distinguish yourself from the other gender here, Jill?
Well, let's just say it's not completely
balanced.
We're
kind of wired differently, yeah. She's making some really good points, Pamela, and I want to kind of change your thinking about something. You've sort of given up hope that you'll ever be attracted to him, right?
Right.
When we try to connect the dots, dots didn't work. Fireworks are always the cart, and character and connection are always the horse. And I have seen clinically many, many, many people who said there's just nothing here. And once mm-hmm. the other person developed in their character and became more open and honest and had owned things and they got their own passion and they had a deeper connection that was really intimate, all of a sudden they come in the office and they go, something really happened last night. It was sort of interesting mm-hmm. because sexual chemistry and fireworks are not a matter of the plumbing or not a matter of, like, you know, how much you are like light up candles in the bathtub. That's all great stuff. But the real issue is who's this person. And if you mm-hmm. if you can work with him so that he's growing as a person and able to connect with you at deep levels, it just begins to happen because it's the cart.
See, if I were your marriage counselor, I would have you much less discussing how to talk to each other than how do we get this heart connection here.
Right.
How do we get together on the same team? Because
how do we get vulnerable?
He is irritating the heck out of you.
because he doesn't get it yet, even with the counseling. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know how to connect with you and win your heart. And I think, you know,
I don't know how to connect with him either.
Yeah.
Well, that, like Steve said, though, Pamela, this is not, we'll have two date nights a week, because you can sit there and look at each other for 3 hours and be miserable.
Maybe the most irritating nights of the week are the date nights.
Yeah, I would sit in the office with your counselor and say, I am not vulnerable at the deepest level with Sam, and Sam is not with me. And counselor, bring us there. That's why they have their 10,000 hours of training. And in that office, get some Kleenexes and start talking about how alone you feel and how much you need somebody that cares about you and how you felt all by yourself. And I bet you Sam feels the same way. That's when
we have done 2.5 years, you can imagine, of counseling. We have done those kind of conversations in those sessions.
Okay,
and I think
we've improved.
Pamela? But it's just not there, yeah.
But have you done those conversations from your head? Because you're an avoider, so it's easy to go intellectual.
Right, probably.
Okay.
You can get a lot of technique down.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Miss the whole heart.
So, when you're just operating from your head, you're not doing it.
Okay, so what about a new life weekend for you two?
Should I be honest, though, with him about this physical part? That was my original question. So I feel like that's one thing I've held back from him. I've sort of said, well, I have a low libido and that we have these other issues.
I would say that your overall attractiveness to him, it is down. It's not there because of the emotional disconnect.
But she's asking, should she tell him?
I would tell him. I would
see,
tell him that.
That's what we're talking about is you're editing a lot. You know, in Proverbs chapter 20, it says that a person's heart are like deep waters, and a person of understanding draws them out. Your deep waters, you're kind of skating around, and probably he is too. But with a counselor there to kind of say, hey, this is a landmine here, and be careful here. I mean, let them be careful. But you really have to connect at a really deep level with this man.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Pamela, it sounds like this is in the way for you. Sometimes we need to say the worst thing in maybe the most loving way possible in order to get past it and actually have room for those loving feelings to come in. Otherwise, you're hyper-focused on that one thing. But I don't think this is about physical attraction.
I would just say, especially not about a physical cure, that there's nothing he can do, that's going to make you more physically attracted to him. But when he starts connecting with your heart, when you guys get at that heart level, and I hate to say this, but you know, there just might be another counselor that might take you through some different things, or you come to a new life weekend. I mean, we've been reading you these stories of people, their marriages were over, and they're now back on the same team. That could be a big help to you.
Yeah,
Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, the only other thing is I know you don't have hope for your sexual relationship, but have hope that you can have hope.
Yeah.
In other words, do the right things here and see what happens. You don't know yet because you really haven't gone as vulnerable as you guys can be with each other. So hope for hope.
But no hope is a lie.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. We're glad that you've joined us here today on New Life and hope that something we've said has been meaningful to you. You know, this morning I was reading in 1 Peter, the second chapter, where it calls us to be living stones of the church. In other words, the church isn't just a bunch of old rocks out there glued together. It's people. It's people like you. And sometimes our lives never make sense until we reach out and help somebody else with the very things that we have been through. The struggle, the hurt, the pain, it all is meaningless until we turn around and try to help somebody else. And so I want to encourage you to do that today. Find somebody in worse shape than you are. Do something, and perhaps that will give your life meaning and purpose. But we say it here all the time, and we've heard it here today on these calls. You need to be connected with people that are your friends, that are your associates, that you can trust, so that when the opposite sex is a problem, you've got some people around you to support you and to care about you. Now, we are a listener-supported ministry, and hope and pray that if God leads you, that you will give to us. And as I've said before, when you give, we don't think you're going to get more money back. We're going to think you're going to have less money because you gave. At least that's the way I find in my life. When I give money, I have less money. But here's the thing. If you really like to see people transform their lives, that's what we are. We're a transformation ministry. If it's something that you want to be a part of, then call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and
say that you want to be part of the New Life Giving family. We really appreciate all those who do support us, and that's the only reason that we can be here. So thanks to all of you who do, and we hope this is going to be a great day. My thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. John Townsend. Always love being with you too. And to all of you that listen every day, especially you truckers out there on Sirius and XM, we love the fact that you're out there listening. And if we can help you in any way, there is a number to call, and people are right there. I'm going to be there Wednesday in Dallas at our call center, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the number to call if you need some help, and it's the number to call if you can help us. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.